Fun as always, talking with Rex Hudler. Last segment, newsradiokman.com, the on-demand tab. If you missed any of that, podcast will be up after the show. Jabroni of the Week at 5:50. We have some more K-State national hype to deliver to you in audio form in just a moment, but we have an unplanned part of the show that we need to add in here. Mitch, I'm going to need you to fire up Defend Your Tweet for me right here. It's an impromptu Defend Your Tweet.
Twitter!
I don't know what Twitter is and have no desire to find out.
It's Defend Your Tweet.
Now, I'd like to think we do a pretty good job of making an entertaining radio show here on this side of the glass. Mitch, you're a part of that too, but sometimes when the conversation drifts solely to us, you know, you're just, your head is in that computer and we don't really know what you're doing over there. Well, during the break, as we're interviewing Rex Hudler, he's telling us about how he looks at the monitor and looks away, his broadcast style, talking with Alex Rodriguez. Mitch happens to retweet something from his Twitter account, and it's a very valuable tweet, very valuable information here. It is from WTF Facts, and it says, in the case of an emergency, a Crayola crayon can be used as a candle and will burn for about 30 minutes.
Listen.
So, Mitch Fortner, while the show is going on, you're retweeting tweets about burning Crayola crayons in case of emergency. Defend your tweet, sir.
First of all, when an interview is going on, just let people know what I do. I don't interfere with the interview. I just let you guys do it because I don't think there needs to be multiple people on it anyway. So I'm still working on Jabroni of the Week, and I just happen to see that pop up on Twitter. I'm just like, hey, that is actually really good information. I'm going to retweet that.
Who is more likely to have a Crayola crayon in their house than a normal candle?
Anybody who has a kid?
Than a candle?
So you were just doing it for the people, huh?
Exactly. Listen, I don't waste a tweet, okay? Everything I tweet is very knowledgeable.
No wasted tweets at all. Let's go look through Mitch, your tweets in the last 2 days.
Yesterday he tweeted about the flag outside of
Tubby's. Yeah, I was going to say, he's making fun of Tubby's for having their Chiefs flag upside down.
I wasn't making fun of him. I was just letting him know, hey, okay, your Chiefs flag is upside down.
Okay. So clearly not a wasted tweet. That was not wasted. There was a point to it. Then the next one, and I almost made you defend your tweet for this anyway and planned it into the show. There's been this big deal about men wearing rompers, which I don't even know how to describe it. How would you describe that? It's like a one-piece shirt and shorts all in one.
Just imagine it as almost like a jumpsuit without the sleeves and without the leg.
Yeah.
The leggings part.
Yes. And
it's not pants,
somebody photoshopped Donald Trump into a romper. And you retweeted that. That was the next tweet.
It's because it's hilarious, John.
I don't need to see that, which is why I was going to have you defend that. And then here, in the case of an emergency, a Crayola crayon can be used as a candle and will burn for about 30 minutes. Hey, I can't argue with you, man. Every single tweet has been. Oh, here's another one from WTF Facts from just yesterday. In the beginning of Iron Man, Tony Stark's captors are revealing the entire movie plot in a language called Urdu.
Doesn't that just make your mind explode?
Is it true?
Yeah, prove it. How do we know
actually,
that is true?
So I use this Twitter, this whatever you want to call it, as show prep for K-Rock. Like I like to throw something like that in once in a while because it's pretty interesting. And I actually looked that up, and apparently, yeah, it's true.
Here's one from 2 days ago. Brown shoes with a black suit is cool now.
That was in reference to Raw on Monday.
Okay. Well, I think we've made our point here.
Yeah.
I would just like to think my feelings were a little bit hurt. I would like to think that our show is entertaining enough that you wouldn't have to fill your time with figuring out that
so
crayons can burn.
Basically, what we are getting at here is if you want a really entertaining Twitter handle to follow, it's at Mitch the Fort because
you
are not going to be bored.
That is very true. Go follow at Mitch the Fort on Twitter. That is the logical conclusion here. Okay, K-State football, to make the very seamless transition here. We've talked about this before, but it seemingly the expectations not only regionally, not only within the fan base and here in Manhattan, but really nationally for K-State football in 2017, the expectations are fairly high. We've gone through and looked at some of the rankings even just looking at a lot of the rankings that have been compiled, 19 in Sports Illustrated, 17th in CBS, 17th with the ESPN Top 25. Fox has them at 14. Athlon 18, Sporting News 20. Everything in national polls has K-State ranked between 14 and 20 right now. So the preseason polls are giving you some love. But I think this exemplifies K-State being on the national mind, you know, the college football fan mind that is thinking about college football from a national perspective, because Andy Staples of Sports Illustrated does just a mailbag. He takes questions every week, and he'll answer some in video form. And he is, by the way, a very good follow for college football on Twitter. And Andy Staples got a question this week that was, why is there all this hype about K-State? The question basically said, I know about Jesse Ertz, but not much else about the team. So why is there this hype surrounding K-State? And Andy Staples took some time to answer the question. Here's what he had to say, starting with the expectations for Ertz.
The thought is that he could be another Colin Klein potentially this season. This could be his version of Colin Klein's 2012 season. And he's got a lot of talent around him. They bring back four starting offensive linemen, all but one receiver. Running backs Justin Sillman and Alex Barnes. Dana Dimel's still calling that offense. It was one of the most efficient offenses in the country last year. It's going to stay that way. And then defensively, they get six starters back, including defensive end Reggie Walker, safety DJ Reed. This is as veteran a team as K-State has had in a long time. Last year, they were 9-4 in what was supposed to be the rebuilding year. So they do lose Jordan Willis, and that's going to be tough. But K-State brings back a ton of talent in a Big 12 that, outside of Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, we really don't know how good it's going to be.
So there you have it. That's from national college football sports writer Andy Staples. The first thing that stands out to me, again, is just the mere fact that he is getting asked questions by a random college football fan about K-State tells you that there's enough buzz that people have that on their mind. And it tells you that K-State is going to really at least be in the picture. You know, you have a chance this year. They always talk about if you're going to be in the national title race, a lot of times you got to at least start somewhere within shouting distance of the top five, top 10. And if you are in the top 20 here, I mean, that's going to be close enough. You're going to set yourself up for a chance if you do go through and probably go undefeated, but you'll give yourself a puncher's chance for doing that if we're talking high apple pie in the sky hopes for K-State this year. But an interesting question you brought up regarding what Andy Staples had to say was the part at the very end there about the Big 12, and that basically we only know about Oklahoma and Oklahoma State being legitimate bona fide contenders in the conference. And I, when you think about it right now, I mean, I would agree. There might be some that would tell you West Virginia. Seen some West Virginia preseason love, but I'm going to need to see that. I mean, they lost a lot from last year. I'm going to believe that when I see it. I think a lot of that surrounding Will Greer, the hype with him at quarterback. But you do really only have two other established teams in the Big 12, and because of that, we're talking expectations here for K-State football. I think the baseline for your expectation next year has to be third in the conference. Anything above that will be great, and you would consider it a big success. Anything below that is when you're going to consider the season disappointing. But as we know right now, I don't really see much of a way around looking at it with the attitude that third is what the baseline of the season should be.
Yeah, and third probably means 6-3. I would guess that that's what you're looking at. And then if you do go 3-0 in the non-conference, I mean, you're looking at a 9-3 season where winning your bowl game would get you to a better season this year than last year, but it will be interesting to see how things shake out, because there is that talk about West Virginia, but you would think that there has got to be at least one other capable team in the league, like whether it be TCU or Texas. Those seem to be the other two that would get thrown out there. Hopefully the Big 12 is not actually looking at a position where only Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and K-State are legitimate top 25 teams, because that would be a pretty down year in a year that's considered to be pretty significant, because if you miss the playoff again this year, that's three times in 4 years, and the math is looking worse and worse as far as if you can actually sustain a 10-team league.
Well, that is one thing. If we want to have this conversation about the Big 12, yeah, the fact that there are only two real established teams and K-State being in that conversation for maybe a third that you would feel really good about in the Big 12 right now is not great for the league that is coming off a terrible performance in the NFL draft that made headlines, worse than the American Athletic Conference. a terrible performance in the history of the college football playoff so far. No wins there. Oklahoma's the only team that's made it. You've been the only conference left out twice. It's not looking great because the fact of the matter is that, Texas is down. Baylor's way down. TCU was down last year. These are the teams, along with Oklahoma State, K-State, and Oklahoma, that have been the teams in the league that have made noise. And right now you've got at least half of them, at least half of that top group, trending downward at the moment.
And, we're certainly not going to count on Baylor returning to their normal position this year. Texas Tech, I talked about this last week on a show that you weren't on. I think that they're trending way, way down with Cliff Kingsbury. And Kansas and Iowa State are both, I think, raising the floor slightly in the Big 12, but that's not going to go a long way for you. So I think getting back to the basis of our conversation, I think you're spot on in saying that third place is sitting right on top of the scale, and where you go from there, if it's second place or better, then that's absolutely a successful year. Fourth place or worse, you could be wondering what could have been.
And for the Big 12, all in all, it's Oklahoma, I realize, is very good and has been there. But in terms of the last 5 years or so in the conference, this feels about as wide open as it's been in a little while. I mean, it is a very good opportunity for K-State to make noise in the league. If you're looking at it from a K-State perspective, I would say the fact that the Big 12 looks like it could be down if teams like Texas, TCU, Baylor stay down where we feel like they may be, that can be good for K-State this year. If you're talking immediate future, obviously that is very good. Team has a chance to really contend for a Big 12 championship, especially this year when the top two teams are going to play for the title. That helps out as well. So the combo of those two things makes you feel great about your chances to do something special next year. However, long-term future of the Big 12, this is bad, which in turn could be bad for K-State. I mean, we almost talked about this. I was reading a column from the Oklahoman earlier today just spelling out how David Boren's comments from last week could really be taken as fairly pointed at Texas, saying, hey, if you want the Big 12 to survive, Texas, you don't want us to leave, you better raise your profile and start getting better, because that's when the Big 12 would get respect, is when Texas was up at the top. We've seen what happened when Baylor and TCU were the two teams running the league and had great years. They got left out. They were on the outside looking in. I think we all would imagine K-State would be the same way if it were a similar scenario there. And there was a somewhat similar scenario in 2012, and there was no chance of getting in the BCS title game with one loss. If it's Texas or Oklahoma, that's a different story. And they can do a lot towards raising the profile of the conference, which therefore increases the longevity of the league, which is better for K-State. That's that double-edged sword. You know, we don't like Texas. You want to keep the we on Texas going. But if you want the league to keep going, it would help if Texas would get their act together.
But as far as the national perception, this is about as good as it gets for K-State, typically. You know, even back in 2012, K-State was getting some pub nationally, but then the Big 12 preseason poll came out and K-State was sixth. I am very interested to see where K-State will be in this year's preseason poll. But what we're hearing from the national pundits, including Andy Staples in that recording, it's really right on par with where K-State was going into 2012.
Well, and to connect all the dots here, I mean, the fact that Texas is down, that's basically what he is alluding to there at the end. It's not just Texas, but Texas would be at the forefront of the disappointment of the Big 12 right now. That's another reason why some of the national love is coming. There is perhaps more national love than if Texas were going to be really strong and you'd be looking at the top of the Big 12 like, wow, there's a lot of competition here. Him saying there at the end, he's using one of his bullet points as to why there's buzz around K-State, because the Big 12 just frankly doesn't look like it's going to be all that great next year. We'll see, but you'll take it for now, especially if you are thinking this may be the last year for Bill Snyder and trying to send him off with a Big 12 championship or perhaps better. Jabroni of the Week will wrap up the show at 5:50, but when we come back,